it's impressive that one of us is actually going to make it to 40. There were some pretty strong bets on the contrary.
I thought it was about tap dancing because Phil's gigantic love of tap dancing, and he was so excited about the movie.
For a movie Phil liked so much, there was neither singing nor dancing, so I don't know.
Dan, you're not on an Apple laptop or anything stupid like that, are you?
Don't worry about it. It's all good. We'll figure this out next time. I'm wasting so much of our good podcast energy. Dude.
All right, guys. Are you ready for some football? This is the Sports Flicks, Just Give Us Clicks podcast. And today we are reviewing Rudy. And Phil, if you would, play the trailer for us.
After high school, I'm going to play football at Notre Dame.
Chasing a stupid dream causes nothing but you and everyone around you heartache.
Ever since I was a kid, I wanted to go to school here. And ever since I was a kid, everybody said it couldn't be done. I always listened to them and believed what they said. I don't want to do that anymore.
Hey, kid! Sometimes a winner is a dreamer who just won't quit.
Hey, you guys! My son's going to Notre Dame!
I wish God would put your heart in some of my players' bodies.
You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
True story from the creators of Hoosiers.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Man. Awesome. Love it. Watching Rudy, it's an all-time classic for not just me, but I'm sure for many sports fans. I couldn't think of a better movie to kick us off. We're entering into October now by the time everybody's listening to this. And I couldn't think of a better movie to kick off football season than Rudy. It's a true underdog story. Very well done. I think the characters, which of course are based on real life, are well played. I think there's a lot of real life intrigue that's played out in the movie itself. I just feel like the stories are made very believable. The characters are done very well. And I don't know, I just really appreciated it. But what I'll do is I'll kick it off and just ask everybody, what's your kind of personal history with the movie? If you remember when you first saw it, when was it? What grade you were in? What time of life you're in? Whatever it was.
I think the first time I ever saw it was on HBO. You guys remember Inside the NFL? I think it's still around. I think it's on Showtime now. But Inside the NFL used to be on HBO, and it had Nick Buonocatti and Lynn Dawson. And my dad, massive Chief fan, watching Lynn Dawson on Saturday mornings doing Inside the NFL was like religion. And a lot of times after that show was done, it would segue into a sports movie on HBO. And I remember, I want to say, first time we ever watched Rudy was after Inside the NFL on a Saturday morning. I think that's probably the first time.
Yeah. I know we definitely didn't watch it in theaters. I saw it came out in 1993. So I would have been 10. I don't think we watched it right after it came out, though. It was definitely probably on one of the movie channels, but I think I want to say I watched it maybe like 95, 96 when I first really started getting into sports. I personally loved it, too. It's one of my top three sports movies. Very inspirational. But yeah, that's probably my history with it.
I watched it probably middle into high school, probably 90s. Anywhere from 97 to 98, 99, around then for the first time. Probably around high school, it became my sick day movie. One of three or four that if I'm sick or if I'm just at home needing to watch something, I put it on. It's easily my top sports movie of all time. I've loved it since the first time I watched it. I love that it's mentioned as a true story when it's really true-ish for a lot of the details and a lot of parts of it. But I love this movie. And I loved getting the excuse to get to watch it again.
Yeah, I'd say I probably started watching it. I think I saw it the first time I saw it. I think it was after it came out maybe like a year or so. And man, it was incredible because honestly, a lot of the action in the movie was pretty legit. They had a lot of the scenes and stuff. So it was just, you could actually really get into that movie. And I love Notre Dame anyway. Like when I was a kid, they were actually still good in the 90s. And so you'd see them on TV all the time. And then I remember when I watched that movie, I ended up, we would always go down to the park and get all the kids around the neighborhood and play. And like me and a couple other people had Notre Dame jerseys. And after this movie, it was just, it was awesome. Because you know, I mean, it was like a regular guy that made this happen, this dream come true. You could kind of sort of maybe give yourself a little bit of hope or dream that maybe you could do something like that someday. So it was just, it's awesome. It's so motivational. And yeah, like I said, the scenes are so realistic in a lot of ways, and the music is so uplifting and inspiring as well. It's just, it's an all-timer, man. It's probably a top five sports movie and period. I don't care who you are, but definitely for me.
And I'm glad you brought that up. Actually, the scenes in practice and stuff, they ran actual drills that you would run back in those days. They did Oklahoma drill. They did, I forget what some of the other ones were called, but they're drills I remember doing playing in high school. The football part of that movie was pretty realistic, which is a good point.
Yeah.
And Dan mentioned the music. I feel like Jerry Goldsmith is the unsung hero of the movie. The music in this movie is one of the best soundtracks.
Yeah.
When I was in college, I studied to the soundtrack of Rudy. Was how I studied for a lot of my tests. It's just so uplifting, and it makes you feel like you can do anything.
Anything.
It's one of those movies that without the soundtrack, I don't think it would be near as good without that
music. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
The music was incredible, and just as an, and this is an aside, but I totally agree with you guys on that. Yeah. Especially the main Rudy theme is just, it's, there's a few movies, there's Star Wars, Jurassic Park, that have those iconic, as soon as you hear the song, it makes you think of the movie. And Rudy's like that. Forrest Gump, yeah, the piano thing on Forrest Gump, man, is awesome. So, yeah, it ranks up there in that upper pantheon of all-time original movie soundtracks for me.
Soundtrack.
I feel like we're kicking this around anyway. So what would you guys say was your favorite scene? Or in a movie like this, I know it's hard to pick just one. So if you have maybe one or two, what would you say are just some of your either favorite scenes or maybe something that sticks with you afterwards or that you remember when you think about the movie all these years later?
For me personally, it was when that groundskeeper guy that was his friend was chewing him out for about to quit. And they put it in the trailer too, which I like.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of the movie. You're 5 foot nothing, 100 nothing. If you haven't proven to yourself that you can do it by now, then you ain't ever going to.
Yeah.
And he was right. He was right. And I was like, man, if someone gave me a talking to like that, man, I'd be ready to run through a wall.
You don't have to prove anything to anybody but yourself. You know? Right. I always love that about that part. Yeah.
And Fortune is just such a great character.
He is.
And it's Charles Dutton, for God's sakes. This is one of the most underrated actors, in my opinion, of all time. Really crazy story about that guy. He spent a good portion of his early life in prison. And a big reason of why he became an actor is just by certain happenstances, going off to solitary confinement. He is allowed one book and he grabbed a great African-American playwrights or something. I forget how that story goes, but he grabbed a book and he went to solitary confinement for 3 days and came out and realized that he all of a sudden really liked plays and wanted to be an actor. It's crazy.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I feel like probably a lot of people would say this, but the part where he finally gets on the field and everyone's like chanting his name, even like gets a sack, which I don't think is true.
Well, Joe Montana's basically called that out as bullshit.
He got the sack, but with two other guys that sacked him with it.
Yeah.
He did get the sack. That play was real because I sent you the video, man.
He got like a third of a sack because there were two other guys there.
Yeah, because there were two other guys. Yeah, and they didn't have to do a halfback toss for 40 yards to score a touchdown. So.
No one knew who Rudy was. Three of the biggest pranksters on the team carried him off the field.
Yeah. It was a good story, okay?
But from a doctor's perspective, it is one of the greatest stories ever told.
Yeah.
My favorite scenes were actually just the football montages with the score underneath it, both when he's trying out and then when he actually is on the team and they're showing him practicing and with Goldsmith's score underneath it. So those two big football montages are my favorite when I think of Rudy is what I think of.
I think about a guy named D. Bob. and the fact that he's taking off with his now girlfriend to go to Miami to go to law school. And then he shows up a few months later in a limousine and just like, here, hold my drink.
Huh? Save the timeline stuff because I have a segment about that later.
Maybe, I didn't even think of that.
Maybe D-Bob got heavily involved in the cocaine trade.
In I like that short amount of time going to law school in Miami.
Or that girl was filthy rich and we just never knew it or something.
I always got the impression that, D-Bob's family was wealthy because he was like a Notre Dame student all along and was just like a TA when they met.
Yeah. Brad, did you have a Brad or Dan? Teacher. Did you have a
I wasn't going to go for a lot of the, of course, the most common ones on these are the football scenes because that's really what it's all about. But one of my favorites, just because I thought it funny, was there, it was pretty close towards the beginning when he actually, right after he got on campus the first time, where the he went to go see the priest and the priest legitimately thought this kid wants to become a Catholic priest and he was talking to him about all the sacrifices he was gonna have to make. I just thought that was a nice little bit of comedic humor thrown in the middle there. Movie could have done without it, but I think you got to have a little humor in there from time to time.
Yeah, I'd say mine was probably like the, there are a couple of them. I like that one where he's in that Oklahoma drill and just totally gets just road graded. And then the coach is just, good God, what are we doing? And then he just jumps that coach's ass and he's giving another shot. And he goes in there and he somehow makes it happen and makes the tackle, gets everybody's respect. And I think that's pretty cool. And I think another one that's a little bit underrated and just is the fact that you watch him just struggle probably for a third of the movie or half of it, just trying to even get into the school. And then when he goes out to that bench, it's like his last shot and he gets in and he's breaking down crying and stuff. It's man, I don't know. That scene's pretty awesome because it's just, it's it, man. This is it. If he doesn't get in there, this whole thing's over. So it's everything's at stake. Very high leveraging situation.
Yeah.
I like after he's found out that he's actually in the school, Notre Dame, he goes back to the factory and goes up to his dad. That is a scene. And that's a scene that actually I rewound and I watched. I think that's just such a – Ned Beatty's awesome in this too, by the way. Ned Beatty's a great actor. But
how big of front runners are his family?
His brother's like a legendary dick. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. We'll talk about him in the village.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Little prick. Guy is a Sooner fan right there.
Yes. Okay. We're going to get into that later. And you guys have a lot of same thoughts. Finish about Ned Beatty. He's so proud of his son. It's on the intercom. Go ahead.
The best part about the whole thing is he takes the letter after Rudy's gone. And I think that it's that little moment where it could easily have just ended out the scene. But I think that to just show that letter means so much to even him. It's not that letter's for him, too. And he knows and he puts that into the envelope and that's going to go into a keepsake box or a shoe box or something. That's not going into the trash. That's like a prized possession.
I also love the one where he grabs the stool and he gets in the locker room and he's like, all of a sudden, it's like he's in his element, man. He just grabs that thing, gets in the middle of that locker room and just starts going at it.
And it's Fortune's face too, over the top. Stone face Fortune can't even hold it in. He's just
and you can tell he's been waiting for that moment. He's been rehearsing that moment in his head for ever.
His whole life. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. The other one I was going to say that I enjoyed was the heartfelt connection moment, even though obviously he never quote unquote admitted it, when he goes in to go sleep on the cot and there was the key and the blanket waiting on the cot. That connection between him and the groundskeeper guy, it was already there, but that moment, they went from friends to more of a family, if that makes sense. Yeah. To me, that was that transition moment, which I think was very important for the movie and for the character development going forward.
Yeah,
I agree. And you guys picked out a bunch of great scenes. I think that just speaks to how good the movie is. It's like you go from one great scene to the next great scene and it doesn't feel like there's a lot of filler. One scene I really liked that I was going to point out because I didn't think anybody else would mention it, but it was whenever Rudy was in the church and he was coming up on his final semester at Holy Cross. And he's like, hey, this is my last chance, you know, and the father, I can't think of his name, but he's like, so you came to appeal to a higher power, right? And Rudy says something like, who cares what kind of job I did? If it doesn't produce results, it doesn't mean anything. And he just kind of looks at him. And he says, I think in time you'll come to understand that it does. And I thought that was really cool because it makes you think of just his journey, but also maybe your own personal journey. Like I'm sure all of us at some point thought, I'm going to be an astronaut or I'm going to be a professional basketball or football player or something. And you work hard, but it doesn't work out right for everybody. But 0.01% of people actually get a shot to get to that level. But it doesn't mean that the work you put in to do that doesn't make you a better person, doesn't make you ready for some other position or whatever you end up becoming in your life, or maybe make you a better father or a better friend or a better husband or whatever. I thought there was a lot of meaning in that. And I feel like that this movie had a lot of great going to the fortune speech Bud brought up and just all the, even the unsaid stuff with the football scenes and everything like you guys are saying. This movie is full of that stuff. It's just full of those like messages. And I think that's what helps make this movie so great.
I do think that Phil had the dream when he was little of recording a podcast in his very own closet, and he's achieved his goals.
He's living his dream.
He put in all that effort through his whole life, and it paid off.
It's even more impressive that he even knew what a podcast was when he was five. I didn't even know this would exist.
You could have been a millionaire.
It wasn't Phil. Being on a radio show. It was a podcast. It all was
the pinnacle of what I wanted to accomplish. This is it.
Dream big.
Something Tide makes. I don't know.
Don't let anybody tell you can't do anything, Phil.
How about, since it's in the same area, favorite character?
Other than Rudy?
My favorite character is Pete.
It can be Rudy, obviously.
Favorite character is Frank because he's a dick.
That's Rob.
That tracks. No, my favorite was Pete because he's the only one that believed in Rudy the whole time.
Rudy was obviously good and very inspirational, but I would say Fortune. I feel like that movie wouldn't have ended up as near as good as it was if they cut out all the Fortune scenes.
Fortune was my pick too.
So it's fortunate that they did not.
I like that.
D-Bob is my favorite character.
D-Bob.
No one knows how. His name has Bob in it. I'm a Bob. We stick together.
I think that guy might have a future. Just watching that movie, I think that guy might have a future in comic book movies, but I don't know.
Maybe. Just maybe.
And in another football movie called The Replacements.
Yes. That was a good movie.
He's actually, John Favreau is actually.
The shots are already starting.
Whatever the
The tongue twister.
Do I care?
Getting fast and loose here.
You know, that guy right there, I like that guy. You five, I don't must care for right now because you're laughing at me.
Hey, Rob, I had John Favreau as my favorite character this too. No, I thought D-Bob was actually pretty awesome. I like we'll discuss later. I can't explain what Rob was talking about either, about the leaving and coming back and all that happened with D-Bob, but I don't know. He was just kind of a very awkward dude that then all of a sudden goes away with some chick and comes back with a bunch of money. I mean, we should all be so lucky.
Honestly, Bob, I think he only has like maybe about 15 minutes of screen time total in this.
Yeah. Yeah. And the character development was really quick.
And every time he's on screen, it's good. It's not wasted.
Yeah. I thought it was like he was timid around any women at all. And that was the whole deal why Rudy ever even talked to start out with, essentially. I mean, which is funny, but he left a big impression. Once again, I think you need his character in there to really keep the movie flowing, even though, as Rob pointed out, he's really not in that much.
After you blew up Pete, you needed to replace the dead friend with a good friend.
Who's alive.
You needed a new MacGuffin. So.
Okay.
Dan?
No, I was just going to say, was this Favreau's, like, first movie, or it seemed like there was a lot of, as we know, he did Vince Vaughn, Favreau, and whatever the heck.
You guys mentioned Vince Vaughn.
But there's just a lot of people that are like, really, at this time, it's like 1993. These guys are just all, who the hell are these guys? Total nobodies. And now Favreau like owns Hollywood. It's just insane.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Favreau did a couple movies before that, but he was uncredited for one, and they were just small bit parts. And then 3 years later, he and Vince Vaughn did Swingers. That was in 96.
Yeah.
They did that. But, but Vince Vaughn is one of those that I always forget he's in this until I watch it. I'm like, Vince Vaughn.
Because he's in, you talk about Favreau has 15 minutes. I think Vince Vaughn has 3 minutes of screen time. He has the scene where he gets pissed off that Rudy tackles him. He's, and this asshole treats this like the Super Bowl. Please bleep that. And then he's got the part where he's like, gotta get Rudy back on the field, you know.
We did this for you.
We did this for you.
Oh, I totally know that you're one day going to get a nice part in a movie that stars The Rock but doesn't, and that's going to be fabulous for you, dude.
Then Rudy, he's credited as Vincent Vaughn.
Exactly. Yeah. So. It's before he wasn't in the Screen Actors Guild at that point.
Speaking of Dan Devine, you could see whoever produced this movie, you could see which coach he liked better, because he made Air Parsegian look like a good guy, good coach, and Dan Devine just this total sourpuss. And it's just funny to me that like Dan Devine's probably sitting at home watching that being like,
no, Dan Devine let them make him be the villain.
Yeah, like, but he never knew how bad it was going.
Yeah, but originally he had said that they could make him more of the villain, because really in real life, Dan Devine actually supported and was like all on Rudy's side.
Okay. Devine's idea to actually have Rudy suit up and play in the game.
I was going to ask, is that because the team actually did the jersey deal, or is that just
no? Dan Devine is actually. Dan Devine actually said that if they had done that, he would have kicked all of the players that laid their jersey on the table off the team.
But Joe Montana was on that team.
He was a freshman.
That would have been a bad move, Dan.
Yeah, I said, no, I never laid down my jersey for this. No one did.
You know what? It makes a great movie scene.
Joe Montana doesn't have Rudy's back at all.
He's like, what about my story?
Hey, so I think we can use this as a segue. Let me interject. Okay, so let's make this... Since we're basically there. So what is you guys' cringe scene slash, and I feel like this will be getting into maybe some timeline issues. So let's cover that around here too. So what do you guys think?
Like D-Bob timeline issues?
Like all the time. So you touched on that, but okay. So let me kick it off, right? Okay. So I'll say my cringe scene involved D-Bob. Yes. So he was going to give Rudy free help for help with girls because there was an attractive girl who talked to Rudy. Hey, you just call me, see about this place, all this stuff. It was so cheesy. To me, okay, all right. The one, he's like, oh, dude, you hook me up with chicks. It totally sounds like the kind of story that annoying guy at a party when you're in college would tell. Like, my buddy, he hangs out with me because I'm the hot one who gets all the girls. And he's like, a loser. And so it's almost like, that Rudy, real life Rudy, was like, oh yeah. And then this part, he became my friend because I was like the hot one, Audrey, you know, with the girls. It was totally annoying. It's like there's this Instagram post that comes around every once in a while on Max Preps. I follow that deal. They talk about high school stuff. It has some posts from some D-Wad who's, 5 years after high school, I ran into this kid I played football with. And he's like telling his girlfriend, he's like, hey, this was the only popular guy who was ever nice to me. It's just, okay. One, you're like trying to tell people you're popular. Two, that never happened. No dude's going to say that in front of me. Like, stop. So that whole scene just made me think of that. Okay. And then, okay. And so let me kick off the timeline issue too. Okay. So my timeline is actually with Rudy. Okay. So look, anybody who's listening to this, I totally still love this movie. Okay. Just because
rip it.
Okay. So he worked at the foundry till he was like 21 or something. His buddy, what was his name? Phil?
Pete.
Paul,
Pete.
Like, Pete. What, Pete? Yeah, sorry. I keep forgetting.
Blowing apart Pete.
He gives him like a cupcake. He says, hey, it's your 21st birthday or something. He's thinking about getting married to Sherry and buying a house and crap. So he's already 21. Then he goes to Holy Cross, goes there for a few years. It has that scene that I mentioned about with the priest. He's, Notre Dame doesn't take senior transfers. So that makes you think, okay, he's been at Holy Cross for at least 2 or 3 years. And then he gets accepted in on the note to Notre Dame as a freshman. And he's playing there until he's, is he like 30 by the time he gets on the field? Like, but anyway, so no wonder he got a sack. He's playing against guys that are like 18 and 19 years old. This is ridiculous. Anyway,
was he accepted in as a freshman? I guess I missed that.
That's what it said in the note, whenever he said it. I'm like,
no kidding.
And then I was thinking, I was like, wouldn't he be a junior or something? If he just 2 or 3 years at a junior college.
And it would be a transfer acceptance. And it sounded more like the letter when they read the letter was like what you get when you apply out of high school.
Exactly. I was just
is totally different. And I didn't even think about that, Josh. That's a good point.
So I was confused by that. But please, anybody. So I opened the floor. Rob brought up another one, which was that Hey, I'm going to Miami to go to law school, and then Rudy's playing next football season. He's already a big shot lawyer. How did that happen?
Well, they don't say he's a lawyer. They just point out that he's rich. And he's in Miami. And what drug was quite popular in Miami in the 90s? What you would call the booger sugar, if you will. So,
man, this movie is
Billy, I'm sure. So
cocaine's still a hell of a drug.
Josh, and I don't really know if it's a cringe scene per se, but the whole family dynamic issue of the movie,
you can
really see it a couple of times. And one is in the bar, Rudy's in there talking to Pete, and you don't even know that any of the family's there. You don't know at that point that Frank is there and that his dad's there until Frank comes up to him. And then when they get in that fight, then his dad comes up to them. It's interesting to me that they weren't talking beforehand. I don't know what happened before that, but if I go into a bar and my dad's there, we'll be talking for a while, or if any siblings are there. So it's the fact that they're just completely separated.
He's got 14 brothers and sisters, apparently. The dad probably sees enough of the damn kids and just doesn't want to talk to them.
And then the second time is when it's his birthday. Before that, at the beginning of that, I'm assuming it's the same day, his dad tells him off for being late. And then you find out it's his birthday. But when his dad tells him off for being late, saying, why were you late? It looks like it's the first time he's seen him today, and he didn't mention anything about, hey, happy birthday.
Again, the dad has got 14 kids.
Yeah, you can't.
I thought you were going to say when he came back home and his brother's getting in on his old girl. Yeah.
And that's
wow, no respect.
Nice brother, too. It wasn't
that was the nice brother,
chick.
Yeah.
It's wow, the nice brother moved in on your chick.
I know, whoa. Yeah, yes. No, I was going to bring that up.
I think it's her that's moving in on him. That girl, they make her appear to be basically super glue to this guy, which he's managed to somehow pry himself away from that. And now she's like going to barnacle attach herself onto the next Rudy.
She wants to be in that family for some reason. And lucky for her, she had like 17 options or whatever it was of how to... the odds were in her favor of it working out eventually.
And then they're huge front runners whenever he does finally play for Notre Dame. They're all cheering him on like they weren't assholes to him in his entire life.
That's my brother. Get the f*** away from me.
Isn't the ex-girlfriend at the football game too? She like trailed along as well. It's funny who's all at the game at the end.
What about the hard-ass guy? What was that lady, that chick that was in that student organization that kicks him out because he's turned over?
Oh, yeah.
God,
the booster.
Wait, she's a hard-ass because she's following the rules? Get out of here, Dan.
I did really like that part when he walked up to her at practice. He's like, don't I know you from somewhere? But he's wearing the uniform and stuff. I thought that was cool.
Where's my button to mute Phil?
A little.
Rules are there for a reason, Dan. Get out of here with that nonsense.
That was a serious pop the collar moment there.
Rules, a bunch of gray, Phil. Like, it's
right. Follow the rules, man.
We've got to mute Phil.
There's rules, man.
Speaking of Rudy, though, actually, one of my employees said he went to one of his speaking engagements. The real Rudy said he was a total dick. Tried to meet him. It's disappointing.
Don't meet your heroes. That's the secret.
It's disappointing because apparently, like, he had to not be that big of a dick to persevere through all that. But then now he's famous for that, and it's gone to his head, apparently.
I swear to God, man, I saw a documentary once about this guy and making this movie, and they show him on a boat, his boat, and the boat's name is the Rudy. Going out there and saying the fact that this guy was a dick isn't really that shocking.
And maybe he really wasn't real because Joe Montana doesn't seem to stand up for him very much. So maybe he wasn't as beloved in the locker.
There was three guys that are the biggest pranksters on the team that carried him off the field, read between the lines. Hell, this movie is the second inspirational film done by David Ansper. Yeah, and in this, he actually was the director of Hoosiers. Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't know that. Yeah.
You got to have the uplifting moments, the underdog story. You got to have the Indiana feel to it. Man, Rudy works.
Which speaking of front runners with his family also, by the way, whenever, I think it was Pete when he was a little kid, was like, can we watch a little Indiana-Purdue game? And the dads, we only watch one team in this house. And that's when Notre Dame, of course, was winning national titles every year. So it's like, front runner, man, again. First Purdue. And no, we're
going to win. It's for the old oak and bucket, man. That's like a big deal. Total OU fans. I thought the same thing.
Oh, it's just another example of how big a front runner's his family was. And so I just wanted to point that out as a cringy moment.
And Gilmore,
I find it odd that these people are so obsessed with Notre Dame football. The guy's like, the dad's like, what, 70, 65, 70? He's never been to the kids. He's never been to a game?
He's got to work at the foundry, Dan.
People in the 80s, man. Every week.
Not his wife. He's got 14 kids.
He takes off 3 hours a day to watch Notre Dame.
Where's the dedication? That's all I'm saying.
On the wing tee, and then he goes back to work, okay?
Then he has another kid.
He's got to support those 14 kids.
Wear and mold themselves.
Yeah, that's right. Those manhole covers need to be manufactured. Yeah. Turtle, the Ninja Turtles got to crawl out of something, okay?
Yeah, there's
didn't you guys think that was shady? What did y'all think about the Air Persegian promise of playing time? And then he just bails on his ass 2 months later. No one's going to hold me to this.
Really?
Like when your kid's at Walmart and they really want a toy. Maybe next time, Junior, but you're not really going to get it for them.
I use that all the time on the Ethan, man. It works like a charm usually. Oh, yeah, we'll do this tomorrow. Tomorrow? Yes, tomorrow. I don't think you know what tomorrow means.
Like, Daddy, it's tomorrow. No, it's not.
Tomorrow is way down the road. Even D-Bob's time.
If I say we'll do something next time we come to Walmart, the next time we're at Walmart, she remembers.
I know, you can only get away with that for so long. Yeah.
This is why you have to switch it
most
up.
Most of my kids are at that
point. And go, no, this isn't Walmart. This is Target.
This is why you quit making your children intelligent. You're just making them more difficult.
All right. Let me do one more thing before the wife segment. And anybody have an underrated villain or maybe just a villain that maybe you're not the traditional able brother?
From what we've just said, I feel like Coach Parsegian deserves a vote.
Yeah, I can see that.
My number one is actually Rudy's dad.
Yeah.
Because he tries to talk Rudy out of his dreams at the bus stop. He goes to the bus stop and you expect him to say, I believe in you and all that. And he's, no, you're a Rudiger. You can't go to college. You can't go to Notre Dame. Yeah. So he tries to talk him out of his dreams. And I just feel like he's an underrated villain in the story.
His brother is going to be making more money than he is at this point. And you could be like your brother. Rudy's the villain.
Rudy's a villain.
Yeah, he turned his back on his woman and his family to go chase
everyone's got their dream. Rudy's got his dream. Sherry had her dream too. Her dream was to have that house with Rudy. And he bailed ass on that, sold her dream short. Rudy's a villain. All Sherry's doing is what Sherry wanted to be and has no control over it. She's a barnacle. And she was trying to grow on the reef that is Rudy.
There's no stand by your man.
He left to go chase tail at Holy Cross University.
Sherry was just looking for a free ride.
If Rudy had just had a student ID or been able to forge one, he could have gotten some Mary quite contrary.
There you go.
And maybe Mary's your villain.
Oh, Mary's totally a villain, man. See? No one liked the sticklers for the rules. Be a rule meister. Made a Doug episode where they just made fun of that stuff.
All right. How about Father Kavanaugh? No, I'm just kidding.
Father Kavanaugh, in a way, he did hold him back.
Calling him a villain is pretty
far. Gave him a chance to get his grades up. Who does that?
He was trying to convince him to become a Catholic priest and leave his other dreams behind. He said, oh, it's an innocent mistake. I didn't know you weren't here for that. Sure he didn't. Trying to ruin a young man's dreams before he even got a chance. Just when you think you can trust Father Kavanaugh.
Too bad.
So, Phil, now that we have successfully made villains out of all the characters that are nice people.
Great movie.
You're always most critical of the ones you love the most, okay? We all love this movie. We called it a top five, maybe top three sports movie, maybe top one.
And we've probably all seen it. Probably all seen it a bunch of times, too.
So we've seen it a bunch of times, so we have. It's easier for us to kick it around.
Well, every great movie has has multiple villains of some level in it. You got to have that conflict or it's just boring.
Exactly. Well, I wonder about what?
They're fuel to the fire. They're a necessary evil, you know.
They are. I wonder what the take would be from people who maybe haven't seen this movie a bunch of times. What if, Phil, what if you just kick it over to the ladies and we can see what the wives think of the movie Rudy?
We're back with the wives segment of the Sports Flicks podcast, and I'm here with Jessica Walfall, Michelle Hyder, Erica Still, and Courtney Boone. How are you all doing today?
Good.
Good.
Good. Good.
you watched Rudy this month, and what is your history with this movie? And if you hadn't ever seen this movie before, was this a movie that you were interested in watching?
My history with this movie is you making me watch it. Years ago, like the first time I watched it was years ago when you made me watch it. But I had a dog when I was growing up named Rudy, and people would always say, oh, like the movie. And I had no idea what they were talking about.
So both times was because I made you watch it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I had never watched it before, but I always wanted to. So I was glad Josh picked it as his pick this month.
I had not seen it before and have never heard of it before.
Oh, you'd never heard of it? That's interesting.
I don't think you're ever going to find a movie that I've actually seen.
Oh, poor thing. That'll be like, we got to get you into movies.
That sounds like a challenge.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think I'd ever seen it before. I wanted to, and I actually really enjoyed it.
What was your favorite part of this movie?
I liked when Rudy was flirting with girls for Jon Favreau. I thought that was really
cute. Yeah, that was cute.
He was actually pretty good at it.
What was his character's name? It was
Bebop.
Oh, Bebop. That's right. Yeah. I don't know why I forget that. I feel like that's a pretty unique name, yeah. A memorable name.
I didn't know Jon Favreau was in there. It was nice to see him in there.
Yeah. I like seeing him. He's a good actor.
My favorite part's the end when he gets to play.
Oh, yeah.
I may have shed a tear, got a little emotional. I was just so happy.
Yeah.
I like the Rudy and Fortune scene when Rudy tells Fortune he quit the team and he's mad he won't get to prove to his dad that he's finally made it. And Fortune's, hey, dummy, don't you get it? You've already made it. Like,
yeah.
You've somehow made the team, even though you're not athletic and smaller than everyone else. And on top of it, you're going to get a diploma from, you know, Notre Dame.
Yeah, yeah,
we had all different takes. My favorite part was when he found the key on the cot because he didn't have a place to stay. That was very emotional to me. That's someone that really cares.
Yeah.
And then also when all the guys put the jerseys in front of the coach for him, that was a big impact.
Rudy was extremely passionate about Notre Dame and is passionate about suiting up for Notre Dame. What is one thing that you have that high level of passion?
I don't think anyone has any level of passion the way that Rudy does for Notre Dame.
No.
Okay, what is the thing that you're closest to that passionate about?
I'd say cars and reading. I'm about even with those.
Rob said I should say internet stalking, but I'm not passionate about it. I'm just good at it.
I mean,
by being good at it.
We're so on the same page.
You're good at it though, but not necessarily passionate.
No, I'm good at it. Not really passionate about it. I was telling Rob, I was like, I don't really have anything I'm that passionate about. He's like, internet stalking. I'm like, I'm not passionate about it. I'm just good at it.
Just good at it too.
That is a talent that should go on resumes. Right
there. Yes.
Internet.
I actually think I could be a PI if I wanted to.
Same. I have that skill too. Yeah. I can find anything you need to know.
Yep.
I got it. Give me 10 minutes and an internet connection. I got it.
Exactly.
Josh is always like, how do you know that? I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
She's the expert at finding you. Who owns
houses? Yeah. Yes, me too. And I can even find pictures of the house
record
and the insides of the house. You can look up everything.
Oh my gosh, I'm impressed. Okay. I am so not to the level you were at.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I don't think I'm that good.
Okay. Out of 5 jeweled shillelaghs, what would you rate this movie? Do you know what a jeweled shillelagh is? It's the USC Notre Dame trophy. Whoever wins the USC Notre Dame trophy gets a quote-unquote jewel shillelagh. And a shillelagh, I believe, is a Irish walking stick or a club.
Did you Google how to say it? Do you know for sure? Oh,
100%. Yes, I did. I put how to pronounce shillelagh. It said shillelagh.
Okay. Oh, well, I have a correction. Josh just said it's shillelagh. No, it's shillelagh.
Oh.
Oh, is it, Josh? I googled how to say it and it said shillelagh.
Which one of you is more Irish? that's the tiebreaker.
I just know for sure the lay is the capitalized consonant.
If any of the listeners would like to let us know how to pronounce shillelagh or shillelagh, let us know. We have the actual pronunciation. Josh, can you play that again? The pronunciation of that word that we're trying to pronounce. Jewel Shillelagh. Awesome. So it's pronounced Jewel Shillelagh. Thank you.
So we've all learned something new.
Yeah. So out of five of those jeweled Shillelagh, what would you rate this movie?
I'd give it four.
I was going to say four also.
I was going to say four.
It would be really good for me to give it a five out of five, but I would give it a four out of five. It was really good.
So four out of five all the way around?
Yeah.
All the way around.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for joining us. And we will get back to the rest of the podcast. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. That was great. I think that we're getting pretty close to wrapping up here. Before we kick it over to Phil for casting what ifs or lack thereof, and a little foreshadowing there, and movie reviews, I wanted to see if Rob had any special takes on the child actors at the very beginning of the movie.
Why even have that scene? I get it. The one kid's short, the other kid's big, and the whole brother dynamic. Okay, fine. There's a reason to have the scene, but geez, man. Stop giving them lines. Just show them, shove the short kid down, and then let's move on to the actual actors.
Honestly, when I watched this, I didn't even remember that scene was in there. So there you go.
I forgot how long it actually took to get to the actual movie.
There was a lot of, other than the Pete stuff, there's a lot of the beginning part they could have cut out, honestly.
Pete stuff, too. It's not like he was really adding all that much. Donga said, happy birthday, and Odin.
He did put his life on the line for this thing, okay?
Hey, what about the jacket?
Oh, Rob.
The jacket.
Okay, fine. He gave him a jacket they probably found at the bus station.
But you know what I'm disappointed in? Nobody mentioned Phil's favorite character as a villain.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He gave him the jacket, right? The false.
Oh, no,
he fueled the dreams that caused him to leave his woman and his family. I can see it.
I hate all of you.
Hey,
actually
an average guy with no movie.
Rudy is actually innocent. Rudy's not a villain. It's actually Pete. Pete's the one that
he fought his brother when all his brother was trying to do was bring Rudy down to back to reality.
Pete was trying to break Rudy's family apart.
There's no redemption for Frank.
Maybe Pete was trying to move in on the girl. So he's trying to convince Rudy to go to Notre Dame, right? And then he dies. So she moves on to
Rudy. He's trying to move in on her. And so Rudy made sure he had an accident at the factory.
Technically, the fire is the hero of the story of this.
Can we make it a goal every time to find Phil's favorite character and just completely demoralize him?
Yeah, just take a literal
dump. How about Phil's character every week or every month?
All right, Phil. Thank you, Rob, for that insight. I appreciate that about the child actors. Yes, and I agree. All right, Phil. So I know this is your favorite sports movie of all time, and you have pointed out to us that you've actually even done a podcast about this movie before. I know that you have a lot of your useless factoids and that kind of stuff. So do you have a couple of fun movie facts or real life to movie facts that you'd like to share with the pod?
Did he say
useless?
Informative, but ultimately do not do anything for anybody.
He dropped the U-bomb.
One thing is that Rudy's brother, Frank, doesn't actually exist. He was a human symbol of all the people that discouraged him. Fortune also didn't exist.
What? Don't do this.
Ruining everything.
Hey. We ruined his character. He's ruining everything else for us.
Makes me want to sink the.
Rudy's father was actually supportive of his son's dream to play at Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, now he is.
So he was actually supportive of him. We already talked about Dan Devine. The football game at the end was actually at halftime of a Notre Dame Boston College game. They had 15 minutes to film it in. The sack that Rudy got was done in one take. And yeah, so they did it at halftime of the Notre Dame-Boston College game.
Oh, interesting.
Wow.
I didn't see what year it was.
No, that wasn't the famous Boston College game, was it? They lost a national championship?
I don't know. What year would that have been?
It would have been – what, Bud, help me with this. Did Florida State to lose to Notre Dame? That was like 92? 93?
Because I assume it would have been
Florida State.
That's a really famous game. And
Florida
State
won the national title in 93.
So it had to be 92. And then the next week, Boston College thumped Notre Dame in just a complete upset. Did they thump Rudy during that game?
It might have been that one. I assume it would have been 92.
Did Rudy cost Notre Dame a national championship? I think they did.
Internet sleuths, get on it.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
So those were some random useless factoids.
I will just say, Phil, with that information, I think that the director of this movie deserves even more credit, because otherwise this would just be a totally self-indulgent cinematography without all these great characters that were just trumped up, apparently.
Didn't want to do this movie originally because he hated Notre Dame.
Really?
Yes, I also read that because he had done Hoosiers and he did not want to do this. He had to be talked into it because he did not want Notre Dame.
And so he channeled all of his hatred into Dan Devine.
Yeah, exactly.
Was he an IU fan? Is that why?
Do fan.
Okay, yeah.
I did not find any casting what ifs for this. I went on a deep dive, couldn't find anything. Do you guys have any people that you would have liked to see in any of these roles in, think, 1993?
I think Matt Damon could have played Rudy.
I think Nicolas Cage could have played Rudy.
I think Vince Vaughn could have played Dan Devine.
I think Nick Cage could have played the girlfriend.
Hey, you would have had like young Tom Cruise back then. Like, what about a young Tom Cruise? Wasn't that Risky Business era?
And he's short.
He would look small. Yeah. Yeah.
Denzel could have played Fortune.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Ain't got nothing on you, Rudy. Please take that out just in case it gets you.
Take out my
laugh at the raising.
Badass. That's not what you are. You do not get back on that.
What about any, think about any replacements instead of, as Ralph so eloquently put it, John Phil?
Since my Danny DeVito suggestion flopped last time.
I think Schwarzenegger could have played D-Bob.
It would have been awesome. That would change the whole movie.
I'm Detective John Kimball. I'm a cop, you idiot.
Yeah, Chris Farley would be good.
What about David Spade?
This is the worst podcast yet.
Most of us aren't even drinking.
We're punch drunk because we're all parents and it's 10:30. We'll be wrapping this up. So with that said, reviews.
Yeah, I have some reviews. Roger Ebert said that it has a freshness and an earnestness that gets us involved. And by the end of the film, we accept Rudy's dream as more than simply sports sentiment. It's a small but powerful illustration of the human spirit. TV Guide said, back in 1993, the rationale behind Rudy's dream is something of a mystery. Why is he so driven? Without understanding his motives, it becomes easy to lose patience with a character so obsessively devoted to a single, largely meaningless goal. Ultimately, Rudy is an inconsequential, if moving, contribution to the sports movie genre.
I think they did a pretty good job of depicting why he was motivated, because family is a bunch of front runners that trashed him.
Well, he grew up watching all of it all that time and was always picked on for being little and all that. I thought they did pretty damn good at developing.
Yeah. In honor of Notre Dame and their many rivalries, I'll say, let's rate it 1 out of 5 jeweled
shillelagh
to commemorate the trophy for their rivalry against USC, if anybody didn't know that. But anyway, go ahead.
I'm giving it 5, man. It's one of the special. Yeah. High five.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got to give this one a 5. It's just, as we said, there weren't good scenes of this movie. It was just a bunch of good scenes tied together. It was all one big cluster of good scenes. It's hard not to give it a 5. So that's where I am.
So agree with the 5.
3.5 Jules Shillelagh.
Rob was not a fan, apparently.
Said 3.5. That's over half. Be 2.5. I'm a dick.
That's like a 7.
I'm going to give it 5 as well. I'm impressed that Brad gave it a 5, because last time he said that to get a perfect one, it needs to be really good. I didn't expect this one to reach that for him, so I was impressed. But yeah, it's an amazing movie. It's a wonderful underdog story, and it is definitely a 5 for me.
Yeah, and to cap it all off, it is a 5 for me as well. I say, yeah, it's like a top 5 movie, top 3 movie. But when, you know, you say that, and then I think, what movie would I rate ahead of it? And it's really hard to come up with one. It might be my top sports movie, too. I'd have to really think about it, but it's definitely up there for me. All you guys know I love Miracle, but I'm not sure I love Miracle more than Rudy. All right, well, thanks a lot, guys. This was a lot of fun. I had fun talking about one of our favorite movies, one that we've probably all seen 100 times, and hopefully you enjoyed hanging around with us and having a little fun and hopefully a few laughs along the way. But if anything, kind of makes me want to watch this movie again. And I gotta say, I think the movie holds up really well. So if you haven't watched it and you're listening to this, you really should. My 9-year-old actually watched it and he loved it. So he watched it from front to end and was enraptured the whole time. So I think this movie made in 93 will be, kids will still be watching it in 2043. So that's my call. Thank you so much for listening. We had a blast. Enjoy this college football season and go Fighting Irish, I guess. Go Pokes, obviously. Go Pokes. All right. Bye.